Good morning, good morning. How are we doing? Such an honor and a privilege to be with you again, to minister, to preach, and to bring the Word of God. And I'm excited. Susan's excited. Anybody else? Oh, there we go. That's the people I know. That's the family I know. So I just want to say this morning, this is the last part of Holy Spirit, and next week we'll start something different. But I trust that as we've gone through this series, that you realize this is a body of truth that we're preaching. They can be seen as standalones, but if you look at the body of truth that's in it, it's a lot more helpful. And I say that specifically this morning because listening to the prayers in the pre-service prayer meeting, listening to the prophetic words, the scriptures that were read, the things that have been said, they've all helped lay a platform for what I want to preach this morning. Sometimes, you know, you prepare a sermon and you prepare and you go, God, is this the right thing? And then this morning, while I was transferring my sermon to my iPad, it wouldn't work. I was like, God, are you trying to tell me something at like 9 o'clock this morning? This is not a good time for me. And then it worked. Thank you, Jesus. Because otherwise I could just stand here and go, Anyway. So this morning I want to speak on being victorious in battle. Being victorious in battle. Michael in the pre-service read some scripture this morning. I said, for you had compassion on those in prison and joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Just take in the words that were spoken this morning. Which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. When we have done the will of God, we will receive what has been promised. As we stand and we understand and we look at, as we stand victorious in battle, and we don't do that alone, and we do it empowered by the Holy Spirit. And let me have a look. Our key scripture we've had the whole time we've been around is the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of Holy Spirit be with you all. That could be a mantra for you if you think that way. Or it could just be an active living verse in your life. The Trinity at work in our lives, the gloriousness of the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. He is grace. The love of the Father that sent His Son to die for us. And then He said, before I go away, I'm going to send you another helper. And we see that in John 14:16, Jesus asked the Father, give us another helper. Normally we do a counselor, the one who would come alongside of us. And remember the counselor, what we said that counselor was. If I've got to pick up this side of the log, then He's going to pick up the other side. He's going to walk with me and help me and counsel me and live with me and breathe with me and teach me and guide me. But to do that, I've got to be the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity are not like a bellhop boy that we call when we need our baggage bags carried. Intimate friendship, loving, guiding us, teaching us. John 16:13, the counselor says, guides us into all truth. Acts 1:8, you receive power to be my witnesses. And then we go, okay, that's just all about evangelism. No, it's not. It's all about being witnesses. And we've said enough times that the witness in the Greek is martos. And in English, that's where we get the lovely word martyr from. You're going to be martyrs for me. And so when we do the altar call, we all come and we weep and we cry and we give our lives to Jesus. We forget that when anyone ever went to an altar in those days, what happened? They died. They were slaughtered as a sacrifice. And we say, I want to come and be your sacrifice. Amen. Why do we so desperately need the Holy Spirit? So we have an assignment we cannot fulfill without Him. We have a privilege we cannot forsake. We have a family we cannot forget. And we have a God we cannot fathom. And I know many here have tried. I'm just trying to work God out, you know, and how God behaves and why He did this and why He did that and how He does this and how He does that. That's why I love in Ephesians, it says, the mysteries, the polyoikilos, the multifaceted wisdom of God would be unfolded through the church. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 54. We're going to look at some Old Testament stuff to help us this morning in being in victorious in battle and understand. But first of all, while you're turning there, we get to Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 is this, remember, this is the Lord God speaking to the prophet Isaiah, and He's telling him what to write. And he was the prophet of the time, and He says to him, you must write these things down. And he writes these things down, and he's writing down about the suffering Christ. It's all about the prophetic word of what the suffering Christ would be. And he says, He grew up before Him like a plant, like a root out of dry ground. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. He has borne our griefs, He's carried our sorrows, and we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And it goes on and on with the seeming bad news. It's depressing. And we get down to verse 12. And then it talks about, therefore I'll divide Him a portion with the many, and He shall devour the spoils with the strong. And it, because He poured out His soul to death, and He numbered with the transgressors, yet He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the righteous. If Bridget was in the front row, she'd tell me to slow down now. The point is that because Jesus is victorious, we get to share in the spoils of the battle. Oh, the devil is against me, the enemy is against me. Yes! Go to the end of the book, he's defeated. Thank you, Richard. Some more. Help me. And then we get to Isaiah 54. And I know when I read this thing and got the import of it, I was like, what? Now he's changed his tune altogether. This depressing piece of news, there's going to be a victory. And then he goes like this. He says, sing, O barren one who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. What? You who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. Fear not. You know what Kevin said this morning, when the Bible says, surely goodness and mercy will follow us, then this one too. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood, and you will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is His name, the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth, He is called. Amazing. Amazing. Wonderful. We see the point is the Old Testament, there was barrenness. They're talking about Jerusalem and Israel and the whole bang shoot of that. But we're looking at the New Testament, New Covenant, and we live under blessings. And so I want to look at that today through that, and with the power, empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the scriptures and everything that has been said this morning that helps align where we're going. Because we cannot have all this stuff, we shouldn't have all this stuff and then live in defeat. We want to live victorious, and sometimes we don't know how to do that. And so this morning, hopefully I'm going to help us all to do that, to live. And the number one thing we need to do is have victory of our faith. Sing, O barren one who did not bear. Your faith is the most precious thing you can bring to the church. Without our faith, we have nothing. We have ideals, we have thoughts, we have imagery. But if we do not have solid, on the rock, faith to carry us, we have nothing. We need to dig deep wells in our faith, stretch ourselves to believe more and then through God without precedent. You know, we don't preach a lot on money in this church. But who knows that we need that stuff? It's the currency of the world. Some guy's not going to come along and say to us, gee, we feel sorry for you guys, we can give you a free roof for $300,000. That is a big ask for us. Some of you maybe not. 300,000 will buy you a very nice house. We just want to fix a roof. And so when we go, I've got to have big faith that His arms are not too short, that He will come through for us. Because otherwise, then we're just going to walk, as I tell you, in winter time, when the heat is on, just walk around with umbrellas. And you've seen us put buckets here and buckets there and buckets there everywhere. And God gave us this amazing building. Please don't let me hear say anything else. Sometimes I come and I just sit on this piece of carpet right here in the dark. I don't switch the lights on and I just go, Father, thank you for this amazing blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your provision and your goodness for this building. I don't put faith in the building. My faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is in our congregation, our family together. That's what I've got faith for. But right now, we've got to dig some deep wells. At times, we will go through barrenness to test and develop character and faith in Him. Because otherwise, how many times, don't put up your hands, because I know you've done that a number of times, this is too hard, I can't do this. Too many times that I would like to admit, it's too hard, God, I can't do this. Had I known this, God is gracious. You know, when God shows us, He shows us picture frames. He just shows us a little picture frame. And you go, wow, that's nice. Because if He showed you the whole DVD, we'd all be running for the hills. I know, certainly I would. Because I don't like hardship. I don't like battling. I don't like, as Kevin said, issues. And all, let's all play happy families and let's all just walk and tiptoe through the... God wants us to be expectant and to do extravagant things in our lives. What do you have faith for? Don't get focused on the building and finding... What have you have faith for in your own lives? So we've got to have victory in our faith. You should have some faith for unprecedented areas or virgin areas. 8 words of a dying church. We've never been this way before. Man, I'm looking at time here because thoughts just keep popping into my head on my notes. When I first came to Canada and I started studying and looking at what is in the mind of a Canadian people. Because it's wise to try and understand the people that God has brought you to. And I've realized now, talking to South Africans, how much Canadian I am. And that's a good thing. And I asked one of the guys who I know had been a missionary in South Africa for many years, but was Canadian, lived in Canada. Because I looked at it and I thought, your forefathers who came here, we're tough people, pioneers, who came in winter and built log cabins and lived in the snow and died in the snow and went out and hunted their meat. They didn't go down to Loblaws and get their latest veggies. They, or whatever you get at Loblaws, you can see I don't shop. yeah, I know, my fault. I don't shop. But wherever you go, what you go and buy, they had to hunt for that stuff. And I come from stock like that. Pioneering people. But looking at society and people coming through, that pioneering, that adventurous spirit appeared to be gone. What was it that transformed and changed? And I'm telling you, to dig deep and to have some faith and unprecedented and some virgin areas in our lives, we've got to build that pioneering spirit again and our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in what He, the work of the finished work of the cross. Our faith in the promises over our lives and the things that He said and done for us. Amen. Thank you. Next one. We have victory over optimistic speech. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Oh, it's not too hard for me. No, that's not what He's saying. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him here, all creatures below. Praise Him, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh yeah. It doesn't matter what kind of day or week we are having. People want to see faith in us. They want to go, man, I don't know what it is about that person. I don't know what the thing. I know that their life's not all bed of roses, but they are always optimistic. They are always good speech. I'm telling you now, this is for free. It's not in my notes. If you ever talk down about yourself, I have some good therapeutic words for you. Stop it. I'm not good enough, I'm not clever enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not short enough, I'm not this enough, I'm not that enough, God didn't bless me this way, God didn't bless me that way, God didn't do that for me. Yeah. How about, man, I'm so blessed. Look what God has given me. Look what God has put inside of me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross. We've got to have victory over our optimistic speech. Holy Spirit, we're going to be full of Jesus, full of Holy Spirit, and He is the captain of the host that will lead us into battle. He is the one who will take us forward. He was the one that all we have to go is, aye, Captain, I'm with you. We don't have to do much. We don't have to run harder, swim faster, climb mountains more. We just got to be, Lord, you said it, I believe it. You said I'm the apple of your eye. Yes, I am. You said that I'm righteous in your sight. Yes, I am. You said I'm a royal holy priesthood or holy royal priesthood. Yes, I am. Lord, you said raise up holy hands wherever you are. Yes, I'll raise up holy hands. Well, I don't feel holy. If it was all about feelings, Jesus would have said, no, Dad, it's way too painful. I'm not going to do that. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. 1 Timothy 4:13. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scriptures, to exhortation and to teaching. Stay joyful at all times. Well, Mark, you don't understand why. Why don't I understand? You think my life's a bed of roses? That I don't understand stuff? You know, I've never had pain? Well, you can just stand and preach it. No, I have to live it. Because there's no point in my preaching if I can't live it. And I will tell you those, your unsaved friends, those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, know more about how you're supposed to live as a Christian than you do. And they won't be shy to tell you. You say you're a Christian, and you say that. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That's a cross, that's a burden to bear. But it's okay if you stay victorious in your faith, that you're optimistic in your speech. I realized on Friday night that my sporting prowess wasn't just M-I-A, missing an action, it was G-O-N-E, gone. I still got aches and pains from family night. Did I have a whole bunch of fun? Absolutely. People must know that we have what sometimes must know what we've gone through, that we've gone through tough times. Don't, oh no, 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 because then they will think that I'm human. Yeah. Yet, are able to inspire others. We can live a life walking on a higher plane, walking well with the Lord, joyful and inspiring to others. I'm taking too long. Victory of humility in the face of others' success. For the children of the desolate one will be more. Allow others' successes to be an encouragement to you, to God's faithfulness in their life. Allow them. You probably noticed Ken's not in church very much these days at all, because they had a change in the business and he has to work on a Sunday. He doesn't want to work on a Sunday, but he has to work on a Sunday. They came to us and said, should we step off the deacon team because I can't be there on a Sunday? I said, don't be ridiculous. It's for a season. He sat in my office, and he won't mind if I tell you this. We were just talking about commitment and being together with the saints. And I get it's holiday and season, summer and all people away and all that stuff. So, but he sat and he wept in my office, because he's unable to be here on a Sunday. His heart is to be here, but he has to work. The good news is they have a supervisor now who he's hoping in a very short space of time will be able to take over his Sunday duty so he can rejoin us again and be with us again on a Sunday. Optimistic in speech. Victory over humility in the face of others' successes. Psalm 45:4, in your majesty, write out victoriously for the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness. Let your right hand teach you awesome deeds. When we see others blessed, rejoice with them. Even if you're praying for a new job and they get the new job, even if you want a new car, whatever the case may be, rejoice with them. It shows humility in the face of other successes. Don't blame the leaders, don't blame for the leaders, don't blame those that are following you, don't blame your family, don't blame your husband, your wife, your cousin, your auntie, your sisters, your nephews, your children, your fathers, your mothers. Faith in Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. There we go. Victory of a larger flock. 54:2. Enlarge the place of your tent. All that we do and say, let us do in excellence. We hate doing things so-so. We want everything done in excellence. We're not a duct tape people. Well, there's a crack in it. Let's just put the duct tape over it and paint over the duct tape. Nobody will notice. No, 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 no. Let's get rid of the crack. Let's plaster it. Let's sand it. Let's paint it. Let's fix it properly. Let's make it new. Each announcement we do is a value in action. When we gather to pray at pre-service, that's worship. That's an action of value to God. When we come in together, when we raise our voices and sing and worship and bring scripture and bring prophetic words and read the Bible, and I'm just part, or whoever's preaching is just part of the greater picture. I am not the item. I am not the thing. I'm just part of it. We get that? So when we gather together, when we come together in our corporateness, everything that we do and say brings honor and glory to Him and is pointing to Jesus and pointing others to Him. Having a victory over a larger flock. Point Jesus to people to Jesus rather than to ourselves. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you and His glory will be seen upon you, and nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see they are all gathered together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar and your daughter shall be carried on the hip. The ultimate in expectancy is to go big in Jesus. Pray for big things. Me and our musos do an amazing job. And they carry it. But you know that we pray for more worship leaders? Well, aren't you satisfied with what you got? No? Oh, that's unfair, Mark. Do you know how much time they sacrifice? Yeah, we know. And they're praying that too. More Sunday school teachers. Well, haven't you got enough? No. More youth leaders. Yeah. Yeah. Go big in Him. I have a dream. This church will become so full that we have to plant churches. We don't build another building to house us all. We're going to say, no. We're full in here. Let's go and plant a church somewhere else. Let's start another place where the light can shine. Be salt and light in another community. Let's open up our doors. Let's go big in Him. Enlarge the place of your tent. It's not like, well, thank you for this building, Lord, but we can knock out that wall. And we can knock in. No, we're not going to do that. Best we're going to do is fix the roof. Because this is not the church. 2 weeks ago, this is not the sanctuary. If you were here and missed that one, you'll have to go and listen online or come and ask me. Victory of a larger vision. Enlarge the place of your tent. Start like you want to finish. Ask for no more. That's why we changed it originally from small groups to life groups. Well, just me and my small group. Happy for those who call it small groups. We don't like that. We want life groups. We want things that bring life to people. Amen? I know you don't know what I'm talking about, but it'll come. Don't allow reductionism to drive you. Well, it's just safer if there's just a few of us. Oh, because after a few battles, you shrink back. When the battle gets too much, when the sword gets tired in your hand. What's the name of the guy who stood in the field? His sword was stuck to the hand, to the handle. Over what? Over a field of lentils. What? He stood there and he fought. This is my land. This is what God has given me. This is my church. This is my body of believers. This is my family. This is what I'm going to fight for. I'm going to be victorious in battle. Or we, rather. Let's put it there, we. We're going to stay focused on your source, the captain of the army. Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. If we get into reductionism, we turn that scripture upside down. There will be an increase. Oh, but you don't know, Mark. There's just so much going on out in the world. No, I'm going to the Word of God. And the Word of God says that there will be an increase of His government and His kingdom. And man, I want to be part of that increase. One of our values, extend the kingdom of God. I want us to walk in that fruit. Not, well, you know, society, so they're against us. Yeah, everybody was against Jesus too, except a handful. Jesus didn't really care what the government said. Let's just leave that one there. I'm not saying go and be rebellious against the government now. Mark said we must just be rebel against the government. No, I didn't. Pray for your leaders, it says. Submit to the government. That's what the Bible says. Victory of conviction over comfort. She says, Mark, as you're getting further down, the stuff seems to be getting a little bit more personal. Praise God. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. This is such an stretching experience for me. I've never done this before. I've never been this way before. Real men sing loud. Well, there you go. There's a lady who believes that. Let me try it again. Real men sing loud. Oh, there we go. Turn the meat. We must be walking in the fullness of our vision. Our conviction must overrule our comfort areas. But I just like to be comfort. Yeah, I know. Me too. Our pursuit of God over our preferences. But I like my comfort zone and I much prefer my preferences. It's like you asking me to sit down and eat the meal that I don't really know. What. Yeah, no. He has prepared in the presence of our enemies a meal for us to sit at. And we don't get to choose. I gave my life to Jesus and I'm His completely. What He chooses, I follow. And that should be what you will say. I trust you are. Stretching ourselves as individuals and as a family in our vision will bring pain. It will bring pain in that I'm not comfortable doing this. You know when stand up and they say, all raise your hands. And you go, I've never raised my hands in church. Now this clown is telling me to raise my hand. I'm uncomfortable doing that. I don't know. I've been there. I know. I get to church and I see everyone, happy Jesus. And I'm like, oh, that looks so weird. And then I stand like this for a while. Then I put my hands in my pocket because now that looks like I'm dialed out. And now so I put my hands in my pocket. Then I don't know what to do and I fold them again. And then I... And I'm like, I don't know what to do. My comfort zone. Now I'm one of the nuts. Nut for Jesus. Second thing it's going to bring you is loneliness. Matthew 26:14. He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and he said, Peter, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? How do you think Jesus felt? Knowing what was ahead of him. So my take on this is if as long as it's good enough for Jesus, it's got to be good enough for me. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord or recommitted my life to the Lord, I was in business and I was the party animal at Fridays. You know, well, you don't know what happens in shipping on Fridays. The industry shuts down and the pubs all open. And I was the party animal. And then I gave my life to the Lord. And then they said, come, are we going down? I said, sure, let's go. And then I ordered a Coke. And they were like, what's your deal, bud? I said, well, 2 weeks ago I got saved. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just feel for me, I don't want to be part of this. Oh, okay. Next Friday. Do you think I got invited? No. Office was silent. All I could hear was the tick, tick, tick of my computer. Praise Jesus. They noticed. It made a difference. Third thing is loss of control. Acknowledge that the vision is too big. These big asks that we're asking, this big ask is too big. Jesus, I can't control this thing. It's totally out of my hand. I spoke to the guys yesterday morning about control. You know, this thing. Give it away. Right, Louise? You take it, it's yours. No, you have it, Dad. 2 Corinthians 1:8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. We were so overcome by life that we thought we had been sent out to our deaths. This is Paul writing. Have you any idea what that meant? He meant I was suicidal. I thought I'm going to die out here. I'm so grieved. I'm so despaired of life. I just don't see the hope. The great apostle Paul. Well, Paul the apostle. Loss of control. He had no control over his life. Number 4, it means that we have to live more for others than for ourselves. It also means a more sacrificial or busier life. Deuteronomy 1:10, the Lord your God has multiplied you, and behold, you are today as numerous as the stars of the heaven. Can you imagine how much more this place filled up, and now we've got to plant a church? And they got issues. They don't have a drum kit, and they don't have this, and they don't have that, and they're trying to get people in, and we're going to say, hey guys, we're going to send a worship team for a month to go and help these guys. Or we're going to go and send preachers to help them. Or we're going to go and send Sunday school teachers to help them. But it just means that we've got to be up and at it ourselves. Almost done. Victory of courage over conservatism. Do not hold back. Learn to take things on the chin. Don't take everything personally. Well, they were just talking about me. You know, whenever you talk about the bridge and you say something negative, I can take it really personally. I choose not to. Otherwise, I'll be writing to Paul. Hey, Paul, were you really utterly burdened beyond your strength that you despaired of life? Were you actually overcome with life? Because that's how I feel. No, but we've got to have victory over courage, over conservatism. Stand against postmodernism, where every facet of God's kingdom is subjected to relativism. Postmodernism says, this is really not the truth. This is perhaps. Because truth doesn't lie in the Word of God. Truth, relativism says that the book that you write or the book that you read is not truth for the person who wrote it. It's only truth for you because you're interpreting their words. No. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, in the end we remember not the words of our enemies but the silence of our friends. Are we going to be silent friends, or are we going to stand and declare and scream and shout as we sang this morning? Learn to live with disappointment rather than lower your expectations. Courage. Get courage to approach the Word of God in a new manner, a new way. Courage to approach time with prayer, with a new vigor. Courage to wrestle and break through with issues, and you can name your own. But courage to stand for that thing. Victory of deep and unshakable values. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Dig deep into the vision. Now, we as a church have a mission statement and we have some values. And that's just for us as a body. But we've got to dig deep into the mission and the vision and the values of the Scriptures, of the Word of God. Because if we don't do that, I mean, this is just for us. This is a momentarily stuff. You know, we at the Bridge, our mission statement, we at the Bridge connect all people to encounter God's Word and Spirit. It's open to everybody. Values, encountering God, engage people, equip the saints, empower leaders, extend the kingdom of God. Those are good, healthy, broad stroke values. But these are the values that we've got to hold on to. These are the wells of faith we've got to dig deep in. This is the promises of God that we've got to hold on to. These are the things that we've got to stand on the Word and say, no, God said it. I've said it before. He said it. I believe it. I am a child of God. I'm not confused or confounded about that. Did God really say? Man, that has been going on since Garden of Eden. I want to just encourage, the enemy has been attacking marriages since the Garden of Eden. This is not new. Did God really say? Eve. I'm not sure, did he? And you know how I feel about wimpy Adam. Anyway, that's not for today. Last one. Victory over the nations. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate places. That's part of wanting to go and plant churches into areas where the light of Christ doesn't shine so much. People going out and reporting back, reporting victories of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, in outermost parts of the world. That's why testimonies are so vitally important. Well, it just happened just the other day and I'm not so sure. And no, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. That's the name of the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm. Goodness and mercy are God's two shepherd sheepdogs who herd us along paths, life's paths. One goodness, one mercy, herding us into His presence, into His life, moving us forward. Revelation 12:11, and they were conquered, and they have conquered Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. That's why our testimony is so important. That's why every little thing, I've said it before, you know, I don't know if this was Tyrone's original idea, but anyway, it's a great one. In rugby, we want to see everybody cross the try line. Once they cross the line and score, then we all go ape. But in football, every little 1 yard, they go mad and they smack each other's butts and they chest bump and yay, and they slap each other's helmets for 1 yard. And we're going, what's the point of that? You've got to get over the line. You've got to get over the dead ball line, the score zone. No, but it's celebrating every yard we take. And we've got to learn to celebrate every yard we take in the kingdom of God. Every extension, every time we move forward. This is my testimony. This is what God did for me this week. This is what God showed me. I prayed for a lady in the street or a man in the street today, and he was weeping and he was wept. Wow, Holy Spirit, touch of God on another person's life. And people will get encouraged by that. And I know every one of you has a testimony. But we just, oh well, it wasn't that important. Optimistic victory over optimistic speech, it was very important. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll get Pentecostal on you now. Victory over your past. Fear not. For you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth. The things that you're holding on like a monkey on your back, the shame and the guilt, how you keep punishing yourself and whipping yourself about it. No, Jesus took it. I read it in Isaiah 53. Go and read Isaiah 53 again. And read 54 again. Jesus took it upon Himself. And the reproach of your widowhood will be remembered no more. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth He is called. We're not in partnership with some rinky-dink king down the road. We're in partnership with the Holy One, the Redeemer, the whole earth. Think of the magnitude of that for a moment. For the Lord has called you like a wife, deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she's cast off, says the God. Take hold of these promises of God. Take hold of these victories. Hold on to them. Walk in them. Faith will bring about fruitfulness, which will give to the past where you will forget about that stuff, because you will be going, every time you open your mouth and you think of the testimony or tell somebody about a testimony, that will build courage. That when you understand the Word and you read the Word, and the Word will bring life and power and Holy Spirit into you, into this sanctuary, not this building. I am closing, I promise you. And I just want to reiterate this again. As I preached last time, we come here and we behave well when we're here because we think this is a special place. The sanctuary. This is not the sanctuary. It's not a special place. This is the sanctuary. This is the special place. God in me. Jesus in me. Holy Spirit in me. Genesis 41:51. Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. For he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. You know the hardship that his brothers put him through? And he could have exacted revenge upon them. But he said, the enemy intended this thing for evil, but God has intended this thing for good. And he fed a nation from that. So I want to say to you this morning, ongoing fruitfulness is the mark of remaining in love and focused on Jesus. I want to declare over you this morning, sing, sing, sing. Sing in your barrenness, sing in your unbarrenness, sing in your joy, sing in your victory over all these things, too many for me to remember. Faith, optimistic speech, humility, larger flock, larger vision, conviction over comfort, courage over conservatism, deep and unshakable values, victory over the nations. We get to sing over that because our Redeemer lives, because our King lives. Because He is Jesus Christ, Lord of the earth. He is our Redeemer. He is the Mighty One. Holy Spirit in me, living and active, guarding and leading me into all truth. If I will listen and obey and do His will and His way. Amen. Let's stand together. Ellie, can you just tinkle the keys for us, please? Just where you are. Just where you are. Just say, Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. I ask you, Lord, this morning, Lord God, for any area in my life where there appears to be lack of victory, lack of identity, a lack of fruitfulness. I come to you this morning, Lord God, and I want by Holy Spirit's power in me, living and active in me. Thank you for the power to be your witnesses. Thank you for the power, the divine authority that you've placed over my life. Thank you, Lord God, that you have given me everything for time and godliness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to speak to me and teach me and counsel me and lead me in your ways. And I would be obedient to that, Lord. Thank you, God, for the power of your word to me. Thank you, God, that you are a blessing in my life. Thank you that I came to know you as Lord and Savior and Master. Holy Spirit, breathe on me. Breath of God. That living power. I will not be confused. I will not be confounded. I will persevere. I will endure. I will stand firm. All glory to you, Lord God. All power to your name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. I want to sing of your goodness. I want to sing of your almighty power. I want to declare your graciousness and your love and your peace to my friends and to my family. In our household, Lord Jesus, let your Spirit rule and reign in peace. In my workplace, Lord God, let your Spirit rule and reign in peace. In my school, in my college, in my neighborhood, breathe on us this morning, Holy Spirit. Strengthen us. God, let us hear from you clearly. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.